Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. We are in conversation with a very eminent individual, someone who knows the RSS inside out, Dr. Ratan Sharda. Ratanji, welcome to the show.
Namaskar.
Namaskarji. So Ratanji, we've been talking about in the last two episodes a lot about the RSS, how it was formed, what are the different kinds of forms, leadership, etc. And in this conversation, I want to really talk about the manifestation of the activities of the RSS. So let me start with saying, what is the relationship between the RSS and the BJP?
Of course, you can ask it, but I would rather say that to begin with, when Dr. Hedgewar's RSS had become a little better, a little strong, and they had some work which impressed people, then some intellectuals asked him, all this is fine, Hindu organization is fine, but what is RSS going to do? So Dr. Hedgewar said RSS will do nothing, but RSS themselves will do everything. So that meant that RSS only trains people to do whatever is best for the society, and it's up to them to take it forward and interpret it. That what you call as manifestation. So with this in mind, right from the beginning, there have been swayamsevaks who have gone out and worked in other arenas, other areas, and created new organizations. Though you asked for BJP, actually BJP was not created by RSS.
Right.
It was created by the Bharatiya Jan Sangh, the earlier avatar was created by Dr. Shyama Prasad Mukherjee,
right,
who reached out to RSS saying that I am creating a nationalist party. He had left Hindu Mahasabha. So I need help and I need people from you. Guruji was not political at all. In fact, he always said that politics is not end all. Politics is just a small part of the entire socio-economic national activities of a nation. So we can't have too much stress on the political side, and if the nation has to change, then every other aspect has to be looked into. With that set of mind, you know, then but his young colleagues like Balasaheb Devaras and many others convinced him that, see, nobody supported us during ban. Nobody did anything for us. So we need our presence, our voice in politics, and need a person who will, a party who will support us and voice our concerns and support when required, etc. So you need a voice and you need people who will get that voice across because of the ban, the poor ban experience, and nobody came out to support them. These young people persuaded Guruji to support. So then Guruji gave out some of the best pracharaks like Deendayal Upadhyay, Nanaji Deshmukh, Sundar Singh Bhandari, and at this level of people to Bharatiya Jan Sangh. And after that also, he didn't take much interest in Jan Sangh till they used to come and ask him his opinion. In fact, to share one episode in Punjab, when there was this question of Hindi Punjabi language, and Arya Samaj had started this movement of entering your language as mother tongue as Hindi in census, so not to be overrun by Akalis. And this created a schism. And when Guruji went to Punjab, he was very forthright. He was very critical of this move, in which many Jan Sangh people who had come from Arya Samaj also had supported. He said, "I cannot do this. Punjabi's language, and that is your conversational language. We are one as far as language is concerned. No language has a religion attached to it. So you must write your language as Hindi." He also upbraided the Jan Sangh leaders of the time. So that was the relation. Then, of course, as and when required, when they requested, some pracharas were sent. But relation was only up to that level that you would advise, you would not try to run Jan Sangh or later on BJP. So that is as far as the relation is concerned. Yes, there are consultations, there are cross discussions and complementary discussions like any other organization which is supported by RSS people. You know, RSS swayamsevaks, so that Vishwindu Parishad or is Bharati Majdoor Sangh, whether it's Vidyarthi Parishad, wherever there are RSS swayamsevaks working, they are also part of the ecosystem. They are called for the meetings, and they are also, when they want, they also share their views, and RSS also shares its views. But whether to agree with view or whether to carry forward that view is totally an area of that particular organization, including BJP. So BJP must have been given advice various times, like every other organization who asked for it, or other people who gave advice to BJP. but it is totally autonomous that every organization, including BJP, to take their own decisions. Mm. There are so many mass organizations which were earlier supported by RSS, where RSS people are present, Pracharaks are present, but they have created their own systems. They have their own Pracharaks. Vishwendra Parishad has its own full-time workers. ABP has its own full-time workers. Similarly, RSS has got Pracharaks. So, to that extent, there is an umbilical cord of ideologies, an umbilical cord of these people who went there. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, apart from advising, RSS does not interfere in any organization, because if you see, a lot of organizations are working in the areas which can be called mutually confrontationist. For example, Laghu Udyog Bharati on one side, Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh on another side, or Swadeshi Jagaran Manch, or Vishwendu Parishad, or BJP, where the goals or objectives may sometimes, the strategy or their policies may sometimes even go against each other's thoughts. But the very idea of Hindu thinking, Hindu philosophy, and RSS philosophy, or taking all decision or consensus, you can have a difference of opinion, but a difference of minds. So with that in mind, they work independently, they talk to each other, but that is the relationship.
Very interesting. So, when we were talking enough in the first episode, you did mention that a very prominent organization that was formed was the Vishwa Hindu Parishad.
Yes.
And you also mentioned the Akhil Bharatiya Vidyarthi Parishad now. Talk to me a little bit about the various organizations where Pracharaks have gone from RSS and where these organizations have made a name for themselves.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In fact, Dattopant Hengdi, one of the foremost intellectuals, and I could only call him as an ideologue at that level, because he actually influenced policies, he actually created new fields, actually created new arena of ideas. So he was a giant intellectual, and he said at that time that it is gradual unfoldment. Because when Dr. G said Sangha will do nothing but same-sex will do everything, clearly he had some roadmap in my mind. He had certain vision in mind. That vision is slowly getting unfolded. So in 1948, when this RSS was banned, some young RSS workers in Delhi, they decided to come together and do some activities, because they can't sit, and there are totally RSS was highly youth dominated even now it is, but it was only youth at that time. Correct. In fact, Nehru, when he banned RSS, said ye chokre kya karenge, ban karenge 10 din mein thande ho jayenge. So that chokras, then they started Akhil Bharatiya, they started a get together, then Dattopant Hengdi and a few other Pracharas, Dattaji Dholkar, etc., they guided that organization. It became Akhil Bharatiya Vidyarthi Parishad. Need of the time. Then similarly, Vanvasi Kala Ashram, which is working in tribal area. So his founder, Balasaheb Devras, this organization's founder, was a government servant. He was also a lawyer, and he was part of Niyogi Commission, which was set up by Shuklaji to look into the conversion issue and what churches are doing. So the report represented it as very disturbing. And then he was being harassed continuously. He met Guruji. Guruji remembered him from the earlier times. Guruji had a fantastic memory. He said, yes. He said, this is what is happening. He said, why are you sitting there? You are a lawyer. Leave the government. Don't depend on others. Start an organization for the tribal people. And you start your law practice and you will be able to do something. Then he was given a Pracharak. So that is how Vanvasi Kalanachan was born, which is now a bulwark of work in tribal areas. Then I talked of Vishwendu Parishad. BJP was born in 1951. Then there was Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh, which was born in 1955. Right. Interestingly, Dattopant Hengdi first joined Intak Union. Mm-hmm. He was invited. Mm-hmm. He worked in Intak Union from 1950 to about 1955, and was working president, secretary in various unions, about 10 unions. Then he left the union. They knew he was an RSS person and started Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning with just 35 people. Right. And he took his first, a national convention after 12 years. Okay. By that time, they had about 10 unions and many other activities. So this was one by one. Then Ekal Vidyalaya started very late, just about 20 years back, which has become now more than 1 lakh single teacher schools. So each and every action, in fact, there are now 38 All India organizations which are run by RSS Swayamseks or Pracharaks who went from RSS. And there are so many. I mean, if you look at, the number of seva work is more than 1.5 lakhs today, which includes very large and very small. Latest one is Saksham, which is for what Modi ji called Divyang. So it has been set up. It is been run by a Pracharak who has nearly lost his vision. He's running it. And there is a special project for children from 1 to 5 for cochlear implant, because if you put a cochlear implant till 5 years, the child can become nearly normal. So that is one project. There is a project for blind. There is a huge campaign for donating eyes. In fact, in Kumbh Mela also, Mohana Bhagavan started their campaign. Most of the Pracharaks have already pledged their eyes and even their bodies. Mm-hmm. So this kind of approach on one side, the very eclectic, you know, intellectual, other side, very down-to-earth projects for the common people. So this is the entire region. In fact, there was Sevaka survey earlier also. But 1989, during Dr. Hedgewar's centenary, Balasaheb Dera said, we will celebrate it, we'll collect some funds, and funds will be used for Seva Kare. So first time it was officially structured as a Seva Kare, division of RSS work, given equal importance as Shaka. So that time, about 10 crores were collected, and the target was 500 Seva Kare. That's 500 social service projects became now 1.5 lakh. Amazing. So there is project in every dimension of social life. There is a very, very, and in fact, very enchanting and also very disturbing project for Pardhi or, you know, gypsy people in Solapur, which is being replicated elsewhere also. There are medical colleges where these people were condemned to be, you know, thieves and robbers by British, and that is how they were labeled. They never stayed at one place. None of them studied. Either father, mother, somebody would be in a jail, because police would pick up, some would be generally criminal. So this was very poor and very living in a very horrendous condition in fringes of the society. So a Pracharak who found a girl abandoned on a bus stop, Girish Prabhune, started this project. And it's about some years back, for the first time, a batch of those gypsy tribe people for the first time passed SSC. Now there is a lady among them who has become a corporate in Pune. Amazing. So various kind of works, every possible work, whichever, you know, Swayamsevak finds worthwhile, he does it. When required, Sangha supports him either by resources or by manpower. And then it just takes off. So there, beyond that, it is basically support at the initial stages. And then the person of any, whatever the person wants to do, starts doing. There is a rural development project now. There is now ecological projects being taken up. So in fact, there was a survey of 17 lakh young RSS Swayamsevaks about what they want to do. So based on those choices, now groups have been made. There'll be special training for them, and they will start doing the work in those areas where they are interested. So that is how it has traveled so far.
You know, Ranjit, it's often said that one of the best kept secrets of the RSS is the 100,000 acre vidyalayas the organization runs. And I often wonder, you know, we must be the largest organization to run so many schools. Why is this not spoken about?
Well, it's very sad that in Indian media and Indian this ecosystem, positive work is hardly spoken about. You have to beat your own drums. But as RSS habit is only talk about the work that is accomplished. And now, in fact, Ekal Vidyalaya is no more just RSS movement. There are people who are running similar foundations outside RSS,
right,
but aligned with RSS, yes, who coordinate the RSS, but totally independent of the Ekal Vidyalaya run by Vishuddha Parishad or Vanvasi Kalyan Ashram or by Ekal Foundation. So so many people are doing it. So it is not best kept secret. It is when I talk about secrets of RSS or, you know, RSS 360, I say that actually the veil of secrecy on RSS is not thrown by RSS. It is refusal of media to acknowledge and remove the veil, which is readily data is available, and not talk about it. But I think that is changing a lot of, because social media, a lot of things are known now.
Correct.
And a lot of stories are known now, but it's very different, totally novel approach. It was started by one Pracharak called Shyam Guptaji, who started this movement. And he used to take out wealthy, you know, families from Calcutta. He started from Calcutta to rural tribal areas. He used to call it Vanyatra. So they would go and they would change people. So when they came back, they started supporting. Now, of course, the same theme is tried in different metropolitans. They have no clue at all how these people live, what is their life. So when they go there, it's a huge cultural shock and also inspiring when they see how people are trying to change their lives themselves. Because RSS motto is not to provide charity, but to support them to rise above what they are doing and support in their, you know, raising their levels.
So one other question that is often asked from me is that why is the communication of the Sangh not so effective in the, if I can use the term, the English-speaking community of our country?
See, we discussed in the first part that how educated people are so, isolated or delineated from the mainstream society, mm-hmm. and how they are afraid of speaking as Hindus, or how they want to say, I'm spiritual but not religious, etc., etc., mm-hmm. because that inferiority complex comes in. Mm-hmm. So this sense of alienation with mainstream society, with movements like RSS, makes them not to read about it, because there are enough websites, there are enough news, social media, which can be read, found. Now there are enough books also. Mm-hmm. Earlier there were not, yes, I agree. In fact, the media cell of RSS came into being nearly 70 years after RSS was born, around 1990s, mm-hmm. when we realized that seniors realized that we need to speak about ourselves. We need to tell people, because mm-hmm. otherwise negativity will win over. They will create such a, hell of destruction around us, that we will not be able to wipe out what has happened so far. Mm. So with that idea, basic communication to offer dissemination of work being done by RSS, not just RSS, by other good people also. Mm. So this media has started, but it took a lot of time to pick up, because RSS being a humongous organization, every decision being taken only unanimously, not done until everybody agrees. Mm. It takes a little time to settle the new idea. So media also took a lot of time to settle down. Mm. But since last 5-7 years, I would say, it has gone all out to promote the right kind of work, tell people about right kind of work, but not do any propaganda. Mm. And people are now slowly understanding. And those who refuse to read because it's RSS book, those who refuse to do anything. In fact, this RSS 360 is the first RSS book. Correct. Written by a person who is from RSS, available in the airport shops. Mm. Otherwise, you don't find any pro-RSS book or RSS from the insider point of view anywhere in any bookshop so far till this book came up. Of course, there were negative books which are always available with an outsider view, because basically the issue is that when you look at India from the Western worldview, what is called standpoint. So when you look at RSS from Western standpoint, you have British's point of view and Western point of view, where Hindu religion is, we talked about being orthodox or totally unscientific, etc., full of hate and Hindu phobia, etc. And if you look it from inside, from Indian point of view, then you look at all those things. Yeah. As I say sometimes jokingly, we had Mahakaleshwar at the zero meridian, prime meridian. Mm. Our time calculation of Surya Siddhant thousands of years back started from Mahakal, which is Ujjain. Mm. So from that, when this prime meridian was shifted to Greenwich, the entire world will change, because the standpoint changed. Correct. So when we return to this Ujjain as a prime meridian, we will have a proper vision about India and look at India from Indian perspective. When that happens, people will see and observe. See what has happened. Actually, RSS, whatever is available, people have gone to the net and social media and said, itna bura kya ho sakta? What can be so bad about it? When in 2008, all these negative stories of RSS, saffron terror started. So that in fact became a blessing for RSS, before people started asking, bhai, aisa kya karte?
I know.
But those who refuse to see, those who are wedded to their own viewpoint, that were trained in school times, I mean, it will take a little more time. People have changed, no doubt. Lot of English speaking people have come in. Lot of people who are very elite in true sense of word, they're also come in. They realize now. So it has been a process, because we educate people. We don't really throw propaganda. So a little more time will before actually people know fully.
You just mentioned words. I've often been asked this, about being fascist, extremist. So I said, you've known me for three decades. Have you ever seen me to be anything like this? But I wanted to ask you that a lot of people also ask me this question, that how do I get associated with the RSS? And what is the expectation of the RSS from me as a possible or potential Swayamsevak?
See, there is, you talked about extremism. In fact, the people, when they call RSS fascist, I ask them, what is the definition of fascist? Fascism is when you force a viewpoint and don't allow anybody else to have a viewpoint, or dominate the person, imprison the person, kill the person, a different perspective, different point of view. That is fascism. If that is the definition physically, intellectually, then Abrahamic religions and communist as a religion are the biggest totalitarian fascist ideologies, because for them it is always monotheism, their religion, their philosophy, everything is wrong.
Right.
There's a binary where you are either a communist or you are a useless person, enemy of the people, or you can be Islam, can be Muslim or a Christian, because you will go to heaven Otherwise, you'll end up in hell. And so I must protect you, I must convert you.
Correct.
While we say everybody's own viewpoint, sarve santu sukhina, bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramaya, we say ekam vipra bahudha vadanti. So this basic difference in philosophy should be very clear, that we are basically wedded to republic of faiths, where we allow every voice, we respect every voice. So to call us extremist or fascist doesn't make any sense. And coming to what somebody can do, they can connect to local RSS person, then according to your hobby, your interest, the person can guide you whether you want to join the media, whether you want to start writing something, whether you want to do seva kare. Most of the people prefer seva these days or social work because it's so fulfilling. Or you want to do some intellectual activity, you want to do the mainstream basic RSS work. So accordingly, the work can be offered. So it depends on the local person, how well he can absorb you or anybody else into the entire ecosystem and give you the right kind of work. But that is the idea.
Correct. So I've also told a few people that who asked me, and I said, listen, I know reasonable amounts, but I will get you an answer. But I did tell them that if you join the RSS, it does not mean you got a ticket to the BJP.
Yeah, not at all.
So very good. Wonderful. So my next question to you is that over the years, you know, how has the role of the Swayamsevak changed?
Actually, I would not say the role of Swayamsevak has changed. Swayamsevak has remained wedded to servicing the society. But as the scope of work has increased from basically RSS Shaka-based organization, which worked only for organization's sake and just connected people and, you know, it kept on expanding the Shaka network from there on to various service projects, religious projects, and different kind of projects, people can get involved anywhere. So based on what work they like, their responsibility changes. So Swayamsevak who likes to get into some social environment, he will go to Bharat Vikas Parishad, you know, and there are a lot of people who are not from RSS and Bharat Vikas Parishad. But basically those who want to have some kind of, you know, that element, they will go to Bharat Vikas Parishad. Somebody who's interested in history, he will go to Itihas Sankalan Samiti. Somebody interested in some other work, he will go there and work in that area. Somebody interested in BJP politics will go to BJP and start working there. Somebody finally getting fed up with BJP politics will come back to Sangh. There are so many examples now because everybody is not may not find the environment of politics very conducive to his way of work. The person will return. Correct. So it is not responsibility of Swayamsevak that has changed. The Swayamsevak, wherever he wants to work, according to that, he gets a responsibility. So in RSS, as we say, based on the quality of the person, time he gives, he or she gets a responsibility. And he or she does well, will keep on growing in that dimension. If he or she finds that they have been chosen for the wrong role, in the next round, they will go to some other work. So based on that,
very interesting.
There is no hard and fast rule. The role of RSS has expanded in all dimensions of society. So there is enough scope of everybody to work. But what responsibility Swayamsevak takes, it depends on his own choice, depends on his nature.
Very wonderful. One other question that I wanted to ask you, which I seem to have missed out in the earlier two, was that what are some of the non-religious markers of other cultures?
It's very interesting, actually. You know, it's very amusing also. When I talk about them, I first heard them from a very senior, one of the biggest intellectuals of RSS today, Ranga Hariji. In one of his lectures, he was telling about what is Hinduness. So what is that which is not religiously Hindu, but it is culturally such a Hindu element in our cultural sense that we just overlook the fact. For example, when somebody enters the room, you say, badi umar hogi aapki, aapko abhi yaad kiya tha. But when you think in English, you say, think of the devil, he has come, right?
Yes.
Or you say, very unconsciously, is God-fearing. But tell me any word in Indian languages which say God-fearing. You love God. You don't fear God.
Correct.
Because my God is not vengeful, but I can play with the God. He can be brother, sister, correct, mother, anything. And according to my choice, he can be Buddha, he can be Hanuman. So I can create a God's image as per my choice, as per my image. So I can feel one with the person, with the God, Supreme God. We know it's one God only. So ekam vipra is fine. एकम सत्य इज फाइन बट विप्र बहुधा वदंती तो मुझे जो अच्छा लगा मेरी नेचर को अगर पहलवान बनने की इच्छा तो मैं हनुमान की भक्ति करूंगा इफ आई फील लाइक वेरी काम साउंड माइंड आई विल फॉलो बुद्धा इफ आई हैव एन यू नो बेंट ऑफ एजुकेशन आई वर्शिप सरस्वती सो अकॉर्डिंग टू द इनेट नेचर वन कैन सी गॉड इन डिफरेंट फॉर्म्स इट इज नॉट कास्ट इन स्टोन दैट माय गॉड विल ओनली बी लाइक दिस यू कैन नॉट कॉल हिम समथिंग एल्स एंड फनीली There is something called, you know, if you go to Desi Baniya, when he weighs down your goods, he will put a little more. You always see.
Always.
What is that? That is called runga.
Mm.
So when you buy, he says, if there is a mistake, it should be on my side, not on your side. He doesn't know. Mm. But somewhere for thousands of years, that is what he's doing. Mm. This particular thing of asking, bhaiya thoda mirchi de to upar se runga dal do, this is typically Indian trait.
Yes.
And this is across India in different terms. In the book, I have given the names of all that. So it can be runga, jhunga, or different languages, different word, but it is typically Indian.
Mm.
You go and you touch the stage with reverence when you go to the stage, any performing artist. Why? Because for him, it's a temple.
Correct.
It happens only in India, whether it's a Muslim or a Christian or a Hindu, because you revere the stage as temple, because from where, with music, with drama, I can reach God.
Mm.
For us, it's not haram. It's for us, it's part of reaching God.
Mm.
Or, for example, there are different games. You know, there's Atya Patya, there is used to Lagori, there is Kho or Kabaddi. Each game has different names in different regions of India, but all regions played, all have same rules. Mm. Some are supposed to be played by girls, now boys will play, or some are supposed to be played by a boy, girl may play. Nobody's put it. There was no MCP attitude or no, you know, woman superiority attitude. It just was there. Mm. And from Assam to Gujarat, from Nagaland to Kanyakumari to Kashmir, these games are played. They are played weekly in the same manner with same rules, no Olympic committee, nothing. What is that?
Oh.
That is typical. You worship when you touch somebody, you do like this, right? Because that person is holy. That person has holy atma. So you cannot touch feet.
Correct.
This is also across all cultures, all religion, all faiths.
Mm.
So any geography of India, you go, you find similar mannerisms. Very interesting story which Manmohanji tells and his personal experience.
Mm.
He stopped in northeast at some village and they wanted to have tea. In the roadside stall, they took tea and he doesn't take normal tea. He said, just tea bag. You put the tea bag, I'll just dig that, tea, what we call black tea. So after the tea was over, there was some struggle, you know, some argument going on that counter. So the lady was arguing and then he asked what happened. The karyakarta with him said, she's refusing to take your money. She said, I have just offered you hot water. I cannot charge you for that. That is not my, I cannot do that.
Right.
I will not charge you for that. Mm. And then finally, she was persuaded to take the money. She refused. Mm. Same experience he had in Prayag.
Mm.
And it's the same experience anywhere in India. We don't sell water normally. I mean, now, of course,
yeah,
all those waters have come. But the shopkeeper will not charge you for something as simple as that.
Correct.
That thought of being helpful to a human being and not beyond this, or worshipping a river, etc. Then there is another interesting example. You go to any roadside vendor or restaurant, some beggar comes and starts badgering you. You try to give the money, shopkeeper will refuse.
Hmm.
So he says, "Wo mere aaya, tumhare nahi aaya, main isko paise dunga, aap kuch mat de."
Hmm.
So this dharmic sense of birth, whether you are whatever religion you follow, is typically non-religious cultural markers of India.
Very interesting.
So this is the beauty of India, which anybody can actually, if he looks at it carefully, there are so many customs like this you can easily identify with, which are what we call Hinduness, Hindu thought. So that is, you know, aspect of India which sometimes you simply overlook.
Amazing. Ratanji, my last question to you, you know, and this is a question, we're coming close to 100 years of the RSS. As someone who knows so much about the organization, who's been so closely involved, who's got 3 books on the RSS.
6, actually.
6 books, okay. 6 books on the RSS. What is your vision for the future of the RSS?
See, RSS leader Sarkareva Sarsang Chalak has already very clearly said that we want to reach each every village. So target for 2025 is that RSS should have reached every village in one form or the other.
Okay.
And I think more than nearly 50% are covered. But the way the network is growing, the way different activities are increasing.
Mm.
So that is the goal, that what used to be called Sangamay Samaj.
Mm.
When it's a Sangamay Samaj, that everybody is connected to Sangha somewhere or the other.
Mm.
So when we were young, we were told that we don't want to be organization in a Samaj. We want to be part of Samaj.
Mm.
So Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh is not an organization, you know, in the society. It is part of the society. That feeling of being part of the society and everybody is connected to RSS somewhere or the other, that is the ultimate goal.
Mm.
What is called Sangama, if you look at the changing environment, earlier there was nobody talked of Hindutva, only RSS people talked, some wrote, some spoke.
Mm.
But it was only RSS. Now, there are so many people who are thinking about like RSS, who are firm believers in Hindutva, who are not part of RSS at all. They don't go to Shaka. Correct. And there is a new book by Rahul Roshan who says, a Sanghi who never went to Shaka. Mm. And now many people identify the idea. Mm. So this sense of being part of the society and people are not even going to Shaka, but are on the same wavelength to think similarly, what is now, you know, started as insultingly being called Sanghi has become a brand. Mm. So that is the ultimate aim, that everybody who thinks about the nation should be thinking in a way and be close to RSS, even if not part of the RSS, this Sanghamay nature of Samaj where people are defending RSS. Mm. In 48, we were defending ourselves. RSS have been defended by RSS only in every ban. Now, when somebody talked of banning RSS, others stood up. When somebody criticized RSS, others stood up who are not even part of RSS. So the thought process has changed. This is, I will think, the biggest achievement of RSS in 100 years, that society has, and RSS has become part of society, and people identify with RSS the way they think. So that is the ultimate aim, to reach every level of the society, every part of the society, and bring about that social change, social evolution in the society, what we call, you know, that Vivekananda said, we don't believe in Kranti, we believe in Sankranti.
Correct.
So the Sankranti of the society is the ultimate aim.
Fantastic. Rasanji, thank you so much. It has been such an honor and privilege to speak to you. You know, the only parallel I can draw is about the blind man who happened to touch an elephant. And he kept saying, the more I touch, the more I discover. I mean, I thought I learned so much, knew so much, but I've learned an incredible amount from you. And I
know Guruji,
everybody who listens to you will learn.
What is that? Just one sentence. When Guruji was asked about RSS, he said, after 20 years as Sarsang Chalak, I have started understanding RSS.
That is very well said. I mean, I know in my three conversations with you, I have learned so many new things that I want to go and rediscover more now. And I know thousands of people who listen to you will suddenly start to identify with little things that you have pointed out. Thank you so much. I'm really grateful. Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.